for your morning. All the news you need to know. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC.
Welcome to the 77 WABC Early News. I'm Bob Brown. Here's your top five at five.
This is the top five at five.
Ghislaine Maxwell was found guilty of sex trafficking and other charges for her role in Jeffrey Epstein's sexual abuse of minor teen girls between 1994 and 2004. A Forbes estimate says Dr. Anthony Fauci is set to rake in the highest ever federal government retirement package in U.S. history, with his annual payment exceeding $350,000. The World Health Organization warning Omicron is still posing a very high risk and could overwhelm healthcare systems as cases shot up 11% globally just in the last week. The holiday travel nightmare continued yesterday for the sixth day as nearly 800 flights were canceled and 1,000 delayed because of winter storms in the western U.S. and the Omicron surge. Eric Adams will ring in the new year at the Times Square ball drop at midnight Friday, then be sworn in as the 110th mayor of New York City. Ghislaine Maxwell found guilty of sex trafficking and other charges for her role in Jeffrey Epstein's sexual abuse of minor teen girls between 1994 and 2004. Maxwell was convicted after 6 days of deliberations by a jury of 6 men and 6 women. They found the British socialite guilty on 5 of 6 counts, all except enticing an individual under the age of 17 to travel with intent to engage in illegal sex acts. She faces a maximum sentence of 65 years in prison for all 5 counts. MSNBC legal analyst Joyce Vance calling the verdict a victory.
This is an enormous victory for the government, but far more importantly than that, this is a verdict that signifies that girls who are trafficked, girls who are groomed, girls who are criminally subjected to sex in this sort of manner can achieve vindication in court, that jurors will listen to their stories, and that more people who have been subjected to trafficking should feel confident that if they report what has happened to them to law enforcement, that they will be taken seriously and that their concerns will be heard.
Epstein's victims, I should say, have been calling for others he associated with to be held accountable and pointing out that the disgraced pedophile financier counted a plethora of famous faces among his friends. Maxwell could now be willing to implicate others in order to reduce her sentence. A Forbes estimate says Dr. Anthony Fauci is set to rake in, get this, the highest ever federal government retirement package in U.S. history, with his annual payment exceeding $350,000. The White House's top COVID advisor has shown no indications that he will retire anytime soon after 55 years as a federal employee. Since 1984, Fauci has served as the director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease. The Forbes review adds that if he retired today, Fauci would still earn $350,000 per year on retirement, and his pension and benefits would continue to increase with cost of living adjustments. Fauci was often praised by the left for rebuking Trump in the early days of the pandemic, but is constantly being slammed by Republicans. Here's MSNBC host Nicole Wallace praising Fauci.
I'm a Fauci groupie. I'm a thrice vaccinated mask adherent. I buy KN95 masks by the, you know, caseload. They're in every pocket. I wear them everywhere except when I sit down.
Fauci earns more than every single other federal government employee, more than, I should say, including the president and 4-star generals. The World Health Organization is warning that Omicron still poses a very high risk and could overwhelm healthcare systems. This coming as the highly transmissible coronavirus variant fueled record outbreaks in many countries. Case numbers have shot up 11% globally in the last week, forcing governments from China to Germany and France to find a difficult balance between antivirus restrictions and the need to keep economies and societies open. Meantime, the Netherlands and Switzerland says Omicron has become the dominant strain in their countries, and while some studies suggested it causes milder symptoms, the World Health Organization is still urging caution. The agency says early data from Britain, South Africa, and Denmark, which currently has the world's highest rate of infection per person, suggesting there was a reduced risk of hospitalization for Omicron compared with Delta. But it added further data was needed to understand Omicron's severity. The holiday travel night nightmare continuing yesterday for the sixth day as nearly 800 flights were canceled and 1,000 delayed amid looming winter storms in the western U.S. and the Omicron surge. Staffing shortages caused by Omicron infections led United Airlines to cancel 162 flights Wednesday, while Atlanta-based Delta said it canceled 125 and JetBlue reporting 98 scrub flights.
So we're stuck here. We don't know what's going to happen. So we're just hoping and praying that we can get on a flight today, no later than tomorrow.
According to the tracking website FlightAware, as of Wednesday, over 900 flights scheduled to enter, leave, or fly in the U.S. were canceled and over 3,900 were delayed. The chaos was kickstarted over the holiday weekend after more than 7,300 flights were impacted Sunday, with approximately 4,000 flights canceled or delayed on Christmas Day, frustrating many travelers. Travelers now have to contend with weather-related cancellations going into Wednesday and today, Thursday, as the West and Pacific Northwest brace for winter storms expected to bring freezing temperatures and heavy snow. Back here in Brooklyn, or New York City, I should say, Brooklyn Borough President Eric Adams will ring in the new year at Times Square ball drop, at the Times Square ball drop, midnight Friday, then be sworn in as the 110th mayor of New York City. He will immediately take over from Bill de Blasio, whose final duties as mayor will be ushering in 2022 at the iconic New Year's Eve celebration. Adams plans to take the oath of office using a family Bible. Time to take our first look at traffic and weather together. We say good morning to Brandy Scott.
Well, good morning, Bob. We've got some foggy conditions again this morning. Visibility pretty low, especially in the Hudson Valley. Definitely want to take it slow at the Tappan Zee and Bear Mountain bridges. Right now, no big delays heading inbound across the Hudson River at the George Lincoln and Hollins. Bruckner northbound, just a little bit busy approaching the Sheridan. After that, you're doing fine heading over to the Whitestone Bridge. Some minor slowdowns on the inbound Gowanus approaching the Battery Tunnel. LIE westbound, you're up to speed there approaching the BQE from the Cross Island. Over in New Jersey, problem spot on 287 southbound in Bridgewater. Left lane out by exit 14 for 22. A jackknife tractor trailer there, just a little bit sluggish. Alternate side in effect today, and Mass Transit is on or close. This report is sponsored by Indeed.com. Need new hires in the new year? You need Indeed to help you find your next hire. When you sponsor a post, you get a list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit. I'm Brandy Scott on Talk Radio 77 WABC.
And checking our weather for today, we have a 30% chance of rain, mainly after 3 this afternoon. Patchy fog before 9 a.m. this morning, otherwise cloudy with a high near 48 degrees. Tonight, a 30% chance, I should say, of rain, mainly before 9 p.m., cloudy with temperatures holding steady in the mid-40s. Right now, we have some fog and mist, temperatures in the mid-40s. Right now, outside the Midtown Manhattan studios, actually, we have 43 degrees. More than a year after the vaccine was rolled out, new cases of COVID-19 in the U.S. have soared to the highest level on record at more than 265,000 per day on average, a surge driven largely by Omicron. And as the Omicron variant takes over as the dominant strain in the country, now accounting for 59% of cases, the U.S. on Tuesday recorded just over 377,000 new cases and nearly 2,400 deaths in 24 hours. According to a DailyMail.com analysis of Johns Hopkins University data, the country recorded a seven-day average of 264,546 cases on Tuesday. The country's previous record was about 247,500 average daily cases reported on January 11th. Coronavirus deaths have climbed over the past 2 weeks from an average of 1,200 per day to about 1,500. CDC Director Rochelle Walensky, in a round of TV interviews, including CNN Wednesday morning, said she was watching the nation's caseload and its potential impact on healthcare providers.
Well, so it really had a lot to do with what we thought people would be able to tolerate. We have seen relatively low rates of isolation for all of this pandemic. Some science has demonstrated less than a third of people are isolating when they need to. And so we really want to make sure that we had guidance in this moment where we were going to have a lot of disease that could be adhered to, that people were willing to adhere to, and that spoke specifically to when people were maximally infectious. So it really spoke to both behaviors as well as what people were able to do.
Walensky adding that while there was some data from other countries that showed less severe illness with Omicron, it was too early to say what the impact might be across the United States. The impact the Omicron variant has had on the nation's skyrocketing COVID infections may have been overblown by as much as 50 percentage points after the CDC slashed its estimate for the prevalence of the strain in COVID-19 cases on Tuesday. The agency releasing a revised chart on Tuesday showing the new variant accounting for 23% of all cases for the week ending on December 18th, as opposed to the 73% it originally reported. The chart showing the Omicron variant accounted for 59% of all new cases for the week ending on December 25th, meaning the Delta variant has been accounting for far more infections than the agency initially thought. On Tuesday, the U.S. recorded just over 377,000 new cases and just under 2,400 deaths in just 24 hours. It comes after a record 512,000 new cases were reported in the U.S. on Monday, marking the country's largest single-day tally since the beginning of the pandemic. The record-breaking figure was in part the product of a multi-day buildup of unreported cases over the Christmas holiday on Saturday, which finally were logged to start the week. Dr. Jerome Adams, the former Surgeon General for the Trump administration, pointed to testing as a reason for the false Omicron numbers. He referred to something called the S gene dropout, in which one of the three target genes is not detected, a signifier of the Omicron variant. The FDA this week said rapid antigen tests for COVID may be less sensitive in detecting the Omicron variant and are leading to false negatives. The FDA making preliminary findings using samples from patients confirmed to be infected with the new mutant strain. The federal agency said early results show antigen tests do detect the Omicron variant, but may have reduced sensitivity, meaning it's possible the test could miss an infection known as a false negative. It's not clear which brand of lateral flow tests the FDA were using in their study or to what degree there was reduced sensitivity. Here's Dr. Fauci.
What about the tests we can buy in the drugstore? Do they also pick up Omicron?
Well, we're getting preliminary information that not all of the diagnostic tests will be accurate with Omicron. Some, and many of the commonly used ones, appear to pick up and detect Omicron quite well.
According to a meta-analysis of studies by the Cochrane Library, lateral flow tests detect an average of 72% of symptomatic cases and 58% of asymptomatic ones. This could be the reason for their reduced sensitivity with Omicron, because the new strain generally presents with milder symptoms and it's more likely than with previous variants to produce no symptoms at all. White House Coronavirus Response Coordinator Jeff Zients admitting Wednesday that the Biden administration won't ink contracts to mass mail 500 million COVID-19 rapid tests, until late next week, despite a record-smashing wave of new U.S. infections and a shortage of tests. The time frame meaning it will take the White House nearly 3 weeks to start the process of making tests available after previewing the plan to combat the Omicron variant December 20th. Zients told reporters in a virtual meeting the Department of Defense and HHS are executing an accelerated contracting timeline. Companies already submitting information, and we expect the contract to be completed late next week. That is a quote from Zients. Zients added that we will share more details in the weeks ahead before correcting himself to say days and weeks ahead. The U.S. recorded a record-breaking 441,000 new infections on Monday, according to CDC data, blowing away the prior record of 294,000 cases on January 8th, 2021, despite the overwhelming majority of Americans being vaccinated. WABC News Time coming up on 5:15. Our first check of sports tomorrow this morning. Good morning, Mike Garcia.
Good morning, Bob. Get my mic on. How you doing today?
How are you? Good. Very good.
Doing fantastic. Fantastic. And, of course, the sports world is doing fantastic, too. The Knicks are on a roll as they beat the Detroit Pistons last night, winning two straight road games in a row. Even though they struggled, and I mean, they struggled in the third quarter, they picked it back up in the fourth, ending it 94-85. Now let's see if the Nets can follow suit as the 76ers. They're coming, and they're coming to face them at our house. They're coming to our backyard tonight at 7. Remember, folks, our team is whole again. Easy as pie is how it should be.
Spectacular!
I'm going to be honest. I don't even like pie. Can you believe that?
I believe it. I guess I can believe it.
Over and out to hockey. The Rangers came up short as the Florida Panthers beat them 4-3. The first two periods were strong, but the third, not so much. Rangers coach Gerard Gallant says, "It was two good teams playing there. We never quit. We battled." Well, quoting the legendary John Madden, "If the going gets tough, just quit." But it's all good for the New Jersey Devils as they beat the Sabres 4-3, breaking a 6-game losing streak. They are set to face the Oilers tomorrow at 1. How about them Jets? Coach Robert Saleh has cleared COVID-19 protocols. They open now as a 13-point underdog against the Tampa Bay Bucks this Sunday at MetLife. Would you personally take that spread, Bob?
I don't know. I'm not much of a gambler.
Really?
But does it sound like I should take it, though, if I was?
Probably not.
Okay.
But I do want to go to the game, though. I definitely do. That's your early news sports update, and I'm Mike Garcia, your friendly neighborhood guy at 77 WABC.
Thanks, Mike. WABC time check coming up now on 517. Let's go to traffic and Brandy Scott. Brandy?
Well, we've got a problem on the New England Thruway heading southbound, approaching North Avenue. A collision out there blocking two lanes in New Rochelle. Looks like that one involves a tractor trailer, very slow approaching that area. Doing fine on the Cross Bronx, heading over to the outbound George. It's a great ride from the Bruckner through to underneath the apartments. Looking pretty good if you're heading across the East River at both the Throgs Neck and Whitestone bridges, making your way into Queens. No issues inbound at the Verrazano on both the upper and lower decks. Still have that problem spot in New Jersey. 287 southbound in Bridgewater. Jackknife tractor trailer out there. He's in the left lane by exit 14 for 22. Some solid slowdowns there. Go back to exit 17. Alternate side in effect today, and Mass Transit is on or close. I'm Brandy Scott on Sauk Radio 77 WABC.
Checking out our weather forecast from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center today. A 30% chance of rain, mainly after 3 p.m. Patchy fog before 9 a.m., otherwise cloudy with a high near 48. Tonight, a 30% chance of rain, mainly before 9 p.m., and then cloudy with temperatures holding steady in the mid-40s. Right now, we have 43 degrees outside the Midtown Manhattan studios, with some fog and mist. Here's a look at some stocks and business. Major U.S. stocks indexes swept to record closes Wednesday, except for the NASDAQ Composite Index, which finished slightly lower as longer-dated Treasury yields climbed to one-month highs. The Dow Jones Industrial Average rose 90.42 points, or 0.3%, ending at a record 36,488.63, eclipsing its previous November 8th record close at 36,488.63. 32.22. The S&P 500 index gaining 6.71 points or 0.1%, finishing at a record 4,793.06. The NASDAQ Composite Index shedding 15.51 points or 0.1%, closing at 15,766.22 after hitting an intraday high at 15,821.81. Two Simple's autonomous semi-truck recently completed the world's first driverless trip, which saw the vehicle travel 80 miles in Arizona without a safety person at the wheel or any human intervention. The nighttime drive on December 22nd began at a rail yard in Tucson, traveling along the I-10 corridor for about 1 hour 20 minutes and ending at a distribution center in Phoenix. According to the company, Two Simple's autonomous driving system successfully navigated surface streets, traffic signals, on-ramps, off-ramps, emergency lane vehicles, and highway lane changes in open traffic while naturally interacting with other motorists. The trip is also the first time a Class A autonomous truck has operated on open public roads, and Two Simple says this is only the beginning of its technology's abilities. The company, founded in 2015 in San Diego, focusing on developing autonomous driving technology for the trucking industry. Spider-Man No Way Home has become Sony's top grossing film ever, raking in $516 million domestically and over $1.16 billion worldwide, according to Tuesday's box office numbers. The sequel starring Tom Holland is the first pandemic-era film to cross the $1 billion mark at the box office during the pandemic. The third installment has become one of the fastest movies to reach $1 billion at the box office, debuting December 17th. No Way Home became Sony's top grossing film over the 2017 movie. Jumanji, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. Apologies if I'm not. Welcome to the Jungle, that earned $404 million domestically. New York State has hit a new single-day high of 67,000 COVID-19 cases in 24 hours, as Governor Kathy Hochul warns that a spike in cases will continue through January, with 1 in 5 people in New York City being tested now infected with the virus. Hochul on Wednesday reported a statewide test positivity rate of 18.5%, with the New York City rate at 19.6%, soaring increases from a 5.3% rate in the state just a month ago.
We're basically preparing for a January surge. We know it's coming, and we're naive to think it won't.
Deaths in the state have also risen, with 97 people dying from the virus in 24 hours. That's the highest it's been since February. Positivity rates in the state approaching 50% in April of last year, but at that time the tests were extremely scarce and were mostly used in hospital settings. In New York City, which is being hit hard with the latest surge, where just over 27,700 people tested positive on Tuesday, and roughly 1 in 50 in Manhattan residents who have been tested have contracted the virus in the past week. New video footage showing more than 10 NYPD cops surrounding a mother and her son at a table in a Queens Applebee's before kicking them out of the restaurant for not having vaccination cards during a clash with mass anti-vaccine mandate protesters. The footage showing the officers, who have been accused of traumatizing and scaring the child, surrounding the young family at their table during a protest at Queens Center Mall.
But you don't have it, then you have to leave. And if not...
Dozens of anti-vaccine mandate protesters had staged a sit-in at the restaurant after they refused service for not proving their vaccination status as part of a series of demonstrations against the rules. In New York City, people aged 5 and older are required to show proof they have received at least one dose of a COVID-19 vaccine for indoor dining. This includes restaurants, catering halls, hotel banquet rooms, bars, nightclubs, cafeterias, coffee shops, fast food restaurants, and grocery stores with indoor dining. Nassau County Police say Long Island bodybuilder Dino Tomasetti, Jr., accused of shooting his parents on Christmas Day, allegedly fired on the couple during a custody dispute over his one-year-old baby. Tomasetti Jr. was arraigned Wednesday afternoon on 2 counts of attempted murder. He was placed back in custody directly after the hearing on Long Island, and no bail has been set. The argument over the child reportedly escalated at about 10 a.m. on Christmas Day. According to Nassau Police Commissioner Patrick Ryder, the trainer allegedly tried to leave the family's Schulert Harbor mansion with the child, but his parents tried to stop him. Tomasetti Jr. allegedly fled the state to New Jersey, where police were able to arrest him after tracking the GPS in his Cadillac Escalade. He was brought back to Nassau County and charged with 2 counts of attempted murder. Both of his parents were released from the hospital after undergoing surgery. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy has been slammed for going to Costa Rica on an 8-day Christmas vacation while the state experiences a surge in COVID-19 cases. Murphy and his wife, Tammy Snyder Murphy, left for the Central American country on December 22nd. That day, New Jersey recorded over 9,700 cases, a single-day record since the onset of the pandemic in March of 2020. Just 7 days later, the State Department of Health reported that the number of new confirmed cases had more than doubled to just under 20,000. Former Wisconsin Congressman Sean Duffy weighing in on Fox News.
I get he had a hard, you know, re-election race. He almost lost. He's done such a bad job in New Jersey. But when you have a crisis burning, you should probably stay at home, especially when you're the governor and a crisis is burning in your state. And you have that with, you know, surging cases of Omicron in New Jersey and across the country. And so I don't understand this. You wanted to be governor? Stay home and do your job.
The Murphys are scheduled to return from their trip later today. Murphy came under similar heat in August when he jetted off to Italy for a 10-day vacation, leading his predecessor, Chris Christie, to say the getaway showed, quote, how seriously the governor takes his job. The New York sex abuse case against Prince Andrew was weakened because prosecutors in the Ghislaine Maxwell trial failed to call his accuser as a witness, it was claimed last night. Jeffrey Epstein's former lawyer, Alan Dershowitz, insisted the fact the Maxwell jury didn't hear from Virginia Giuffre was because the authorities don't believe she's telling the truth. Dershowitz, who was formerly Jeffrey Epstein's lawyer, telling the BBC he thought the case against Andrew was weakened considerably after the Maxwell trial. Dershowitz weighing in on the Maxwell case on Cats at Night.
The government was very, very smart in who they picked. They didn't pick the witnesses who had the most incriminating testimony. They picked the witnesses who were most credible. And by doing that, they enhance their chances of getting a conviction. Now, the sentencing, you know, it won't be in single figures. It won't be 3 years or 5 years, but it won't be 40 years or 50 years. It'll probably be in the middle range, probably 10, 12 or something like that.
Royals experts say Prince Andrew's reputation was a busted flush, regardless of what transpires in the case against him, because of his friendship with billionaire pedophile Epstein and now convicted sex trafficker Maxwell. The jury's confirmation that Maxwell was the willing accomplice for the late Epstein will serve to place Andrew beyond the pale for his elder brother, Prince Charles, who already saw him as a liability for the royal family. Coming up now on 527, let's take a look at traffic and go to Brandy Scott. Good morning, Brandy.
Good morning, Bob. We've got some foggy conditions out there in the Hudson Valley. A speed restriction now in place at the Tappan Zee Bridge. You're down to 45 miles an hour on the span. New England Thruway southbound crawling toward North Avenue. Crash right before exit 16. It involves a tractor trailer. Two lanes are out. Bumper to bumper ride there from exit 17 on down. A little bit busy on the Bruckner northbound approaching the Sheridan. After that, no issues heading over to the Bronx River Parkway. FDR nice and quiet both up and down heading over to the 59th Street Bridge. Picking up some minor delays on the BQE eastbound, heading over to Atlantic Avenue from the inbound Gowanus. Still a great ride on the LIE westbound, heading over to the BQE from the Cross Island. Over in New Jersey, still have that jackknife tractor trailer on 287 southbound. He's taking out the left lane over by exit 14. Some heavy delays there go back to 206. This report is sponsored by UPSjobs.com. Dear Team UPS, you did it again. You did the early mornings and the night shifts. You did it for your family and community. You delivered everything from birthday gifts to life-saving vaccines. Thank you to each and every UPSer. I'm Brandy Scott on Talk Radio 77 WABC.
WABC time check is 5:28. Checking our weather now from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center. Today, a 30% chance of rain, mainly after 3 p.m., patchy fog before 9 a.m. Otherwise, cloudy skies with a high near 48. Tonight, a 30% chance of rain, mainly before 9 p.m., cloudy with temperatures holding steady this evening in the mid-40s. Right now, some fog and mist and 43 degrees outside the Midtown Manhattan studios. The woman who was arrested after she was caught on video slapping a passenger aboard a Delta flight has other brushes with the law. One incident happened just last month when she allegedly tried to fight cops in Florida during an arrest for driving under the influence. According to court and police records, Patricia Cornwell allegedly became aggressive with officers after she crashed her gray Nissan into a tree in Santa Rosa Beach back on November 10th.
Sir.
Cornwell was arrested on a charge of driving under the influence and careless driving. She's set to appear in court next on January 10th. She was previously arrested back on December 11th of 2020 in Los Angeles and later pleaded no contest to having a alcohol level rate of 0.8% or more. The early morning news continues as we come up on 5:30 on 77 WABC.
Entertaining and informative. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC.
Welcome to the 77 WABC Early News. I'm Bob Brown. Here's your top five at 5:30.
It's the top five at 5:30.
Ghislaine Maxwell was found guilty of sex trafficking and other charges for her role in Jeffrey Epstein's sexual abuse of minor girls between 1994 and 2004. The Forbes estimate says Dr. Anthony Fauci is set to rake in the highest ever federal government retirement package in U.S. history, with his annual payment exceeding $350,000. The World Health Organization is warning Omicron still poses a very high risk and could overwhelm healthcare systems as cases shoot up 11% globally in the last week. The holiday travel nightmare continued yesterday for the sixth day as nearly 800 flights were canceled and 1,000 delayed amid looming winter storms in the western U.S. and the Omicron surge. Eric Adams will ring in the new year at the Times Square ball drop at midnight Friday, then be sworn in as the 110th mayor of New York City. Ghislaine Maxwell found guilty of sex trafficking and other charges for her role in Jeffrey Epstein's sexual abuse of minor teen girls between 1994 and 2004. Maxwell was convicted after 6 days of deliberations by a jury of 6 men and 6 women. They found the British socialite guilty on 5 of 6 counts, all except enticing an individual under the age of 17 to travel with intent to engage in illegal sex acts. She faces a maximum sentence of 65 years in prison for all 5 counts. MSNBC legal analyst Joyce Vance calling the verdict a victory.
This is an enormous victory for the government, but far more importantly than that, this is a verdict that signifies that girls who are trafficked, girls who are groomed, girls who are criminally subjected to sex in this sort of manner can achieve vindication in court, that jurors will listen to their stories, and that more people who have been subjected to trafficking should feel confident that if they report what has happened to them to law enforcement, that they will be taken seriously and that their concerns will be heard.
Epstein's victims have been calling for others he associated with to be held accountable and pointing out that the disgraced pedophile financier counted a plethora of famous faces among his friends. Maxwell could now be willing to implicate others in order to reduce her sentence. A Forbes estimate says Dr. Anthony Fauci is set to rake in the highest ever federal government retirement package in U.S. history, with his annual payment exceeding $350,000. The White House's top COVID advisor showing no indications that he will retire anytime soon after 55 years as a federal employee. Since 1984, Fauci has served as the director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases. The Forbes review adding that if he retired today, Fauci would still earn $350,000 per year on retirement, and his pension and benefits would continue to increase with cost of living adjustments. He was often praised by the left for rebuking Trump in the early days of the pandemic, but has been regularly slammed by Republicans. Here's MSNBC host Nicole Wallace praising Fauci.
I'm a Fauci groupie. I'm a thrice vaccinated mask adherent. I buy KN95 masks by the, caseload. They're in every pocket. I wear them everywhere except when I sit down.
Fauci earning more than every single other federal government employee, including the president and 4-star generals. The World Health Organization warning Omicron still posing a very high risk and could overwhelm healthcare systems. This coming as the highly transmissible coronavirus variant fueled record outbreaks in many countries. Case numbers have shot up 11% globally just in the last week, forcing governments from China to Germany and France to find a difficult balance between antivirus restrictions and the need to keep economies and societies open. The Netherlands and Switzerland says Omicron had become the dominant strain in their countries, and while some studies suggested it causes milder COVID-19, the World Health Organization is still urging caution. The WHO adding that early data from Britain, South Africa, and Denmark, which currently has the world's highest rate of infection per person, suggested there was reduced risk of hospitalization for Omicron compared with Delta. But it added that further data was needed to understand Omicron severity. The holiday travel nightmare continuing yesterday for the sixth day as nearly 800 flights were canceled and 1,000 delayed amid looming winter storms in the western U.S. and the Omicron surge. Staffing shortages caused by Omicron infections leading United Airlines to cancel 162 flights Wednesday, while Delta said it canceled 125. JetBlue reported 98 flights that they had to cancel.
So we're stuck here. We don't know what's going to happen. So we're just hoping and praying that we can get on a flight today, no later than tomorrow.
According to the tracking website FlightAware, so far on Wednesday, 945 flights scheduled to enter, leave, or fly in the U.S. were canceled, and over 3,500 were delayed. WABC time check coming up on 5:37. Let's get a look at traffic this morning in Brandy Scott. Good morning, Brandy.
Good morning. We're going to start off in New Jersey, 287 southbound in Bridgewater, a jackknife tractor trailer. Two left lanes now out by exit 14 for 22. It's a stop-and-go ride from 206 on down. No issues if you're heading inbound across the Hudson River, looking pretty good at the George Lincoln and Hollins. FDR northbound slowing down, approaching 106th Street. Crash there in the right lane, some heavy delays from 96th. After that, it's a problem-free ride heading over to the Triborough and the Harlem River Drive. 59th Street Bridge, lower outer roadway. That's out with roadwork heading into Queens. Should be back by 6 a.m. New England Thruway southbound, two lanes out before North Avenue with a collision involving a tractor trailer. Also a fuel spill that has you bumper to bumper from Chatsworth Avenue. Alternate side in effect today, and Mass Transit is on or close. I'm Brandy Scott on Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Checking our weather forecast from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center, a 30% chance of rain, mainly after 3 p.m. Patchy fog before 9 a.m. Otherwise, cloudy with a high near 48. Tonight, a 30% chance of rain, mainly before 9 p.m. Otherwise, cloudy with temperatures hovering in the mid-40s. Right now, some fog and mist and 43 degrees outside the Midtown Manhattan studios. The father of a six-year-old boy who was shot and killed last year while watching 4th of July fireworks in San Francisco is blaming the city's district attorney for ensuring that one of the boy's killers will walk free in fewer than 10 years. In his first televised interview since his son got caught in the crossfire of four gunmen, Jason Young, the father of slain Jace Young, called District Attorney Chesa Boden out of touch and really dismissive. He criticized his decision to charge one of the suspects, now 18-year-old Deshaun Lumpkin, as a minor.
It's a tragic, painful loss that, you know, myself and my family, we deal with every day. But let's talk about the fact that the guilty verdict is only going to do maybe 5 years. My son barely lived that long because of the politics and the policies of the district attorney. There's no accountability. I mean, we're doomed as a city, especially with the district attorney like Chesa Boden.
Lumpkin was 17 at the time of the murder. Following the verdict, Lumpkin was handed an 8-year maximum sentence, a judgment that sparked swift backlash from citizens as well as the boy's family. Jace's relatives noted that one of Bodine's key promises when campaigning in late 2019 was never to allow those under 18 to be tried as adults, no matter how horrific the crime. There was a 15% increase in homicides across San Francisco compared to last year, with 54 cases recorded so far this year alone, compared with 47 the year before. Los Angeles police officers repeatedly pleading with a colleague to slow it down and hold up as he stalked the aisles of a Hollywood Burlington store with a rifle, searching for an assault suspect just moments before firing a shot that killed a 16-year-old girl hiding in a dressing room with her mother. Valentina Orellana Peralta was struck in the chest while shopping for a dress just 2 days before Christmas. The LAPD on Monday released a heavily edited packages of surveillance and police body camera footage, which captured Valentina's final moments. In the body cam video, armed officers entering the store and approach Daniel Elena Lopez, suspected of attacking two women.
Let's go down!
Hey,
slow down. Let me take the one with the rifle. Hey, back up.
Get out.
Hold
on. He's got a two.
Okay.
Police have not named the officer who fired the deadly shots, killing Elena Lopez and Orellana Peralta. On Tuesday, Valentina's inconsolable parents stood outside the LAPD headquarters and demanded justice for their daughter. Civil rights attorney Ben Crump joining the parents and reading a translated statement written by Valentina's mother, the letter revealing that she and her daughter were hugging each other and praying inside the dressing room when the bullet struck the 14-year-old in the chest, killing her just 2 days before Christmas. New data showing that Jackson, Mississippi has experienced its deadliest year on record in 2021, as rising gun violence has driven its homicide rate to become one of the worst in the nation. CNN reporting that Jackson, a Democratic city in a heavily Republican state, has already seen 150 homicides as of December 21st, shattering its previous record of 130 set just last year. The outlet reports that the bloodshed has driven the state's capital homicide rate to 97.6 murders per 100,000 residents. That's 15 times higher than the U.S. rate of 6.5%, with most stemming from gunfire. Before the pandemic, the crisis plagued Capitol's worst year for homicides was in 1995, when it recorded 92 at a time when homicides peaked in the country. The latest rise in killings comes as the police force has dwindled from a peak of more than 520 officers to about 290. Though it is budgeted for 350, CNN says the city has struggled to retain officers and attract new ones as the city faces a dire economic downturn and people are packing up and leaving in droves. Jackson's population plummeting to 160,000 in 2020, down from almost 200,000 in 1990. Now more than a quarter of its population lives below the poverty line. Talk show titan Oprah Winfrey finally offering her thoughts on former protege Dr. Mehmet Oz's recently announced GOP Senate bid in Pennsylvania, deliberately distancing herself from the conservative cardiac surgeon's campaign. In a statement from her spokeswoman, Winfrey telling New York Magazine, quote, "One of the great things about our democracy is that every citizen can decide to run for public office. Oz has made that decision, and now it's up to the residents of Pennsylvania to decide who will represent them." Winfrey offering no endorsement for her old pal, who rocketed to fame as a regular guest on her program in the 2000s before landing his own show back in 2009.
"One who can reignite our divine spark, bravely fight for freedom, and tell it like it is. That's why I'm running for Senate. I'm Dr. Oz, and I approve this message."
Winfrey, a known Democrat who previously endorsed former President Obama and former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton in their White House bids, did not offer additional comments on Oz's campaign. Oz, who announced that he would be running to succeed retiring Republican Pat Toomey last month, has since decided to nix his popular show after 13 seasons in order to fully pursue his political career. Jared Schmeck saying on Tuesday he is now considering running for political office after gaining notoriety among Republicans for getting President Biden to say, "Let's go, Brandon," during a Christmas Eve event. Schmeck made the comments in an interview with conservative Christian media personality Todd Starnes.
"I want to get through this, and I want to, you know, pray about it, see what God has for me. At the end of the day, I want his will for my life and the direction it goes. This is not anything I expected or planned, and I do feel like God put me in this position for a reason."
Schmeck made headlines after calling into the NORAD Santa Claus tracking broadcast on Christmas Eve, which included an appearance from Biden and First Lady Jill, who took calls from Americans and their kids. WABC time check, 5:45. Time to take a look at sports. Good morning, Mike Garcia.
Good morning, Bob. You know, earlier today, you spoke about Spider-Man crossing and beating, knocking out of the park for the global box office. And guess what? I'm a Spidey fan. Are you? Are you a big movie guy?
Kind of, yeah. Yeah, no one's seeing movies now. I mean, You know, so I can't say I've been a movie buff lately, but yeah, I go to the movies.
Well, you know the old saying, let's go Brandon, it should be, let's go Spidey. It's your friendly neighborhood Mike Garcia here with your early news sports update. The Knicks are on a roll as they beat the Detroit Pistons last night, winning two straight road games in a row. Even though they struggled, and oh boy, did they struggle in the third quarter, they picked it back up in the fourth, ending at 94-85. Let's see if the Nets can follow suit as the 76ers are coming to our house, our backyard, tonight at 7. Remember, folks, our team is whole again. Easy as pie is how it should go. I still don't like pie. Over now to hockey. The Rangers came up short as the Florida Panthers beat them 4-3. Hold on real quick. Bob, are you okay?
A little bit of a coughing jab, but I'm fine. Thank you for asking. Appreciate that.
The one you're passing out on me. Oh, my goodness. The first two periods were strong, but the third not so much. Rangers coach Gerard Gallant says it was two good teams playing there. We never quit. We battled. The legendary John Madden, he said at one point, if the going gets tough, just quit. Gotta take that line. It's all good, though, for the New Jersey Devils as they beat the Sabres 4-3, breaking a six-game losing streak. They are set to face the Oilers tomorrow at 1. How about them Jets? Coach Robert Saleh has cleared COVID-19 protocols. They now open as a 13-point underdog against the Tampa Bay Bucks this Sunday at MetLife. And guess what, guys? I'm definitely taking the spread.
That's your early.
That's your early news sports update. And I'm Mike Garcia on 77 WABC.
A little too much water, a little too fast. Thank you, Mike. Checking now, going to traffic with Brandy Scott this morning. Brandy?
Well, the outbound Lincoln Tunnel, we've got a crash out there in the North Tube. It's closed right now, moving into New Jersey. Hopefully, they pick it up pretty quickly. You're doing fine, though, at the outbound Holland, heading over to the Jersey side. Also looking good on the Cross Bronx. Make your way to the outbound George. New England Thruway, southbound, solid approaching North Avenue. Collision involving a tractor trailer. It's blocking two lanes. Also a fuel spill, probably going to be out there for a while. Traffic is stopped at Chatsworth Avenue. FDR northbound, heavy approaching the Triborough, crash in the right lane over by 106th Street. Still have that issue in New Jersey on 287 southbound. Two lanes out, approaching exit 14 for 22 in Bridgewater. Jackknife tractor trailer. Mass Transit A trains are reporting staffing issues this morning. You want to plan some extra time between Inwood and Rockaway Park. Alternate side in effect today. This report is sponsored by UPSjobs.com. Dear Team UPS, you did it again. You did the early mornings and night shifts. You did it for your family and community. You delivered everything from birthday gifts to life-saving vaccines. Thank you to each and every UPSer. I'm Brandy Scott on Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Checking our forecast from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center, a 30% chance of rain, mainly after 3 p.m. Patchy fog before 9 a.m., otherwise cloudy with a high near 48 today. Tonight, there's a 30% chance of rain, mainly before 9 p.m., otherwise cloudy skies with temperatures hovering in the mid-40s. Right now, we have some fog and mist, 43 degrees outside the Midtown Manhattan studios. Here's a look at some stocks and business. Major U.S. stocks indexes sweeping to record closes Wednesday, except for the NASDAQ Composite Index, which finished slightly lower as longer-dated Treasury yields climbed to one-month highs. The Dow Jones Industrial Average rising 90.42 points, or 0.3%, ending at a record 36,488.63, eclipsing its previous November 8th record close at 36,432.22. The S&P 500 Index gaining 6.71 points, or 0.1%, finishing at a record 4,793.06. The NASDAQ Composite Index shedding 15.51 points, or 0.1%, closing at 15,766.22 after hitting an intraday high at 15,821.81. Two Simple's autonomous semi-truck recently completed the world's first driverless trip, which saw the vehicle traveling 80 miles in Arizona without a safety person at the wheel or any human intervention. The nighttime drive on December 22nd began at a rail yard in Tucson, traveled along the I-10 corridor for about 1 hour and 20 minutes, and ended at a distribution center in Phoenix. According to the company, Two Simple's autonomous driving system successfully navigated surface streets, traffic signals, on-ramps, off-ramps, emergency lane vehicles and highway lane changes in open traffic while naturally interacting with other motorists. The trip also is the first time a Class A autonomous truck has operated on open public roads, and Too Simple says this is only the beginning of its technology's ability. The company, founded in 2015 in San Diego, focuses on developing autonomous driving technology for the trucking industry. Spider-Man No Way Home has become Sony's top grossing film ever, raking in $516.4 million domestically and $1.16 billion worldwide. That's according to Tuesday's box office numbers. The sequel, starring Tom Holland, is the first pandemic-era film to cross the billion-dollar mark at the box office during the pandemic. The third installment has become one of the fastest movies to reach $1 billion at the box office, debuting December 17th. No Way Home became Sony's top-grossing film over the 2017 movie. Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle, earning $404.5 million domestically. New York State has hit a new single-day high, 67,000 COVID-19 cases in 24 hours, as Governor Kathy Hochul warns that a spike in cases will continue through January, with one in five people in New York City being tested now infected with the virus. Hochul on Wednesday reporting a statewide test positivity rate of 18.5%, with the New York City rate at 19.6%, soaring increases from a 5.3% rate in the state just a month ago.
We're basically preparing for a January surge. We know it's coming, and we're naive to think it won't.
Deaths in New York State have also risen, with 97 people dying from the virus in 24 hours. That's the highest it's been since February. Positivity rates in the state approaching 50% in April of last year, but at that time the tests were extremely scarce and were mostly used in hospital settings. In New York City, which is being hit hard with the latest surge, where just over 27,700 people tested positive on Tuesday, and roughly 1 in 50 Manhattan residents, I should say, who have been tested have contracted the virus in the past week. New video footage showing more than 10 NYPD cops surrounding a mother and her son at a table in a Queens Applebee's before kicking them out of the restaurant for not having vaccination cards during a clash with mass anti-vaccine protesters The footage showing the officers, who have been accused of traumatizing and scarring the child, surrounded the young family at their table during a protest at Queens Center Mall.
But you don't have it, then you have to leave. And if not,
dozens of anti-vaccine mandate protesters had staged a sit-in at the restaurant after they refused service for not proving their vaccination status as part of a series of demonstrations against the rules. In New York City, people age 5 and older are required to show proof they have received at least one dose of a COVID-19 vaccine for indoor dining. And this includes restaurants, catering halls, hotel banquet rooms, bars, nightclubs, cafeterias, coffee shops, fast food restaurants, and grocery stores with indoor dining. Nassau County Police say Long Island bodybuilder Dino Tomasetti Jr., accused of shooting his parents on Christmas Day, allegedly fired on the couple during a custody dispute over his one-year-old baby. Tomasetti was arraigned Wednesday afternoon on two counts of attempted murder. He was placed back in custody directly after the hearing on Long Island. No bail has been set. The argument over the child reportedly escalated about 10 a.m. on Christmas Day. According to Nassau Police Commissioner Patrick Ryder, the trainer allegedly tried to leave the family's Hewlett Harbor mansion with the child, but his parents tried to stop him. Tomasetti allegedly fled the state to New Jersey, where police were able to arrest him after tracking the GPS in his Cadillac Escalade. He was brought back to Nassau County and charged with two counts of attempted murder. Both his parents were released from the hospital after undergoing surgery. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy being slammed for going to Costa Rica on an eight-day Christmas vacation while the state experiences a surge in COVID-19 cases. Murphy and his wife Tammy Snyder Murphy left for the Central American country on December 22nd. That day, New Jersey recorded over 9,700 cases, a single-day record since the onset of the pandemic in March of 2020. Just 7 days later, the State Department of Health reported that the number of new confirmed cases had more than doubled to just under 20,500. Former Wisconsin Congressman Sean Duffy weighing in on Fox News.
I get he had a hard, you know, re-election race. He almost lost. He's done such a bad job in New Jersey. But when you have a crisis burning, you should probably stay at home, especially when you're the governor and a crisis is burning in your state. And you have that with, you know, surging cases of Omicron in New Jersey and across the country. And so I don't understand this. You wanted to be governor. Stay home and do your job.
The Murphys are scheduled to return from the trip later today. The governor came under similar heat in August when he jetted off to Italy for a 10-day vacation, leading his predecessor, Chris Christie, to say the getaway showed, quote, how seriously the governor takes his job. The New York sex abuse case against Prince Andrew was weakened because prosecutors in the Ghislaine Maxwell trial failed to call his accuser as a witness. It was claimed last night. Jeffrey Epstein's former lawyer, Alan Dershowitz, insisting the fact that the Maxwell jury didn't hear from Virginia Giuffre was because the authorities don't believe she is telling the truth. Dershowitz was formerly Jeffrey Epstein's lawyer, telling the BBC he thought the case against Andrew was weakened considerably after the Maxwell trial. Dershowitz weighing in on the Maxwell case on Cats at Night.
The government was very, very smart in who they picked. They didn't pick the witnesses who had the most incriminating testimony. They picked the witnesses who were most credible. And by doing that, they enhanced their chances of getting a conviction. Now, the sentencing, you know, it won't be in single figures. It won't be 3 years or 5 years, but it won't be 40 years or 50 years. It'll probably be in the middle range, probably 10, 12 or something like that.
WABC time check is 5:57. Let's get a look at traffic and Brandy Scott.
Well, it's a rough ride moving through Westchester right now. Southbound Hutch, that's bumper to bumper. Approaching North Street, a truck struck the overpass in Harrison, the right lane out. You're hitting the brakes there from 287. Two lanes down on the New England Thruway southbound right before North Avenue. Crash involving a tractor trailer and a fuel spill. That is you jam there heading over to exit 16 in New Rochelle. Another hit on the FDR northbound in the right lane by 106th Street. It's a stop and go ride from 96. After that, you're looking pretty good heading over to the Triborough Bridge. Still have that crash at the outbound Lincoln in the North Tube. It's closing all lanes. Now an accident at the outbound George. It's on the upper level in the right lane, not really causing a big delay there. Still dealing with a jackknife tractor trailer on 287 southbound in Bridgewater. Two left lanes are blocked by exit 14 for 22. This report is sponsored by Indeed.com. Need new hires in the new year? You need Indeed to help you find your next hire. When you sponsor a post, you get a list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit. I'm Brandy Scott on Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Checking our weather from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center, a 30% chance of rain mainly after 3 p.m. Patchy fog before 9 a.m., otherwise cloudy with a high near 48. Tonight, a 30% chance of rain mainly before 9 p.m., otherwise cloudy with temperatures in the mid-40s. Right now, some fog and mist, 43 degrees outside the Midtown Manhattan studios. A reminder, Russ Salzberg and Curtis Sliwa are in for Bernie and Sid. They're coming up next. And the woman who was arrested after she was caught on video slapping a passenger aboard a Delta flight has had other brushes with the law. One incident happening just last month when she allegedly tried to fight cops in Florida during an arrest for driving under the influence. According to court and police records, Patricia Cornwell allegedly became aggressive with officers after she crashed her gray Nissan into a tree in Santa Rosa Beach on November 10th.
Bitch, sir.
Cornwell was arrested on a charge of driving under the influence and careless driving. She's set to appear in court on January 10th. Again, stay tuned for Curtis Sliwa and Russ Salzberg on the Bernie and Sid Show. Have a great morning, everyone.